This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available. But if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword LoveSport.
A week without a win for the Blues, and still let Jonathan Kidd do his little thing there before we move on. Late defeat at Newcastle, followed by a relatively bit of late drama at the Bridges. Arsenal fought back twice to salvage a point. We're going to be discussing the Arsenal game at length. Tammy Abraham, what of his injury? The striker clattering into the advertising hoardings on Tuesday and not in the squad to face Hull this weekend. The whole game, of course, and the FA Cup will come into question, as will potential transfer targets. Gents, oh, by the way, the sparkling new vegan kiosk at Stamford Bridge too will get a little mention. Of course it will. This is the Chelsea Fan Show. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the boys from the Chelsea Fancast. Jonathan Kidd.
Kiddo.
And Dan Silver.
Hello.
Hello, gents. Silveroo. How are we?
Silveroo. Yeah. I just had one of those.
A what?
A Silveroo.
Silveroo.
Subaru. Sorry. Other cars are available.
Yeah. Oh, right. I got you.
You know, yeah. Silveroo. You know.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay. I mean, sorry.
Yeah. It's Long okay. John at school. I was called Long John, obviously.
Of course, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of my underwear, yeah. Not because of anything. Yeah.
Not because of your literary involvement.
No. Okay. Moving swiftly on.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, it's a very, they're very good films. Yeah, sorry.
No problem at all. Plenty coming up, gents. But first,
is this about the vegan restaurant? No. It's just some irrelevant music that is playing.
Okay, there we go. Your mic was slightly left on there, so we heard your reaction to that particular bit of music there. That was, of course, Pat Benatar, gents.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh.
Now, if you don't score enough goals, you don't win enough games, do you? We've had a lot of ooh moments, said Frank Lampard this week.
Can I just ask what the relevance of that music was?
Yeah, ooh. That's the song.
Pat Benatar, ooh.
There you go.
On for far too long. That's why I spoke over it. Should just have been a sting. God, it just went on and on and on, didn't it? Well, that bore you?
Who's,
God,
who did ooh are just a little bit? Who
was that? That's Gina G.
Just a little bit.
Yes, that is Gina G.
But lots of ooh moments. So that's for the vegan restaurant, is it?
No. That's for Frank Lampard, basically. Saying we have lots of ooh moments for the crowd, but we're not scoring the goals, gents.
I think we have a lot of, oh, bloody hell, moments for the crowd. We're not having any ooh.
Incidentally, by the way, Pat Benatar, hit me with your best shot. She also sang that, didn't she? That's just come
to
mind.
Not good for Kepa, because hit me with your best shot will go in.
Yeah.
Love is a battlefield, I'm being told as well, by Paddy. But, gents, Arsenal.
Yes.
Come on.
Very disappointing.
Yes. Terrible.
Very disappointing. But my... I've had a lot of epiphany, I think, over the last few weeks, talking to a friend.
A lot of epiphany, or just one?
Just one or two.
Oh, okay.
I've got a very good
several.
Friend. Two. Okay. I've got a really good friend of mine who's a diehard Liverpool fan. He's been going since he was a kid. And he said, look at Klopp, 4 years, they are phenomenal. They were patient. They gave him a chance. They gave him the players. Look where they are now. Liverpool were where we were 4 years ago. They were mediocrity, going nowhere after Rodgers. And now they're just, I hate to say it, they're a phenomenal side. We need patience. We need to get Frank a chance to build.
They're a phenomenal side. Have also been blessed by a lack of injuries.
No, they have, the people, yeah, but they've had Klopp's, who's the centre midfield guy from Monaco? He's been injured.
Firmino's been injured.
Salah's been injured. They've had Alisson miss the first 10 games of the season after getting injured. They have had injuries. But it's about development.
Well, specifically and how, from the fullbacks, so I think of their
powerhouses. Oh, yeah, they're the key players.
The fullbacks is something that
they make the team.
His prank's got to sort well, they out
had
that, as well.
They had Piszczek at Dortmund as well, didn't they? He was really good under Klopp before he got injured. So fullbacks are really crucial. But no, just as a bigger picture.
No, and I agree. It's good to look at it like that. But in the short term, one is dismayed by some of the performances, which are just naive beyond belief. I mean, having said that, though, in the Arsenal game, I think Luiz being sent off actually sort of delivered the game into
the
Gunners' hands. Well, not only that, it forced them to play 9 men behind the ball, which we're completely incapable of dealing with. Once again, the madness. 20 corners it was. Yeah. 20 corners, or was it 17?
It was a lot.
A huge amount to their three. And what do they have? Two shots.
Two goals.
And they score twice. We have 19 shots.
I mean, Kant,
it's just absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, Kante's Gerrard moment, but then you look at all the players on the edge of the box who didn't do their job.
Yeah, didn't do anything, yeah.
And then
but also to be the whole midst of the last few minutes, the goal should never have been scored because Abraham is wandering around with one leg, foolishly makes a signal at the referee, so the referee acknowledges it, then gets up. Should have just stayed down.
Naivety.
And then the ball would have ended. Yeah. Absolute ludicrous naivety.
That passage of play was bonkers. You were watching it thinking, something's going to happen here.
Yeah.
But why, regardless of whether Abraham was down, why didn't a Chelsea player
kick the ball out? Batshuayi got the ball in the corner and attempted. Well, I think, actually, I was thinking this through. I think they're so wedded to the idea of you have to move the ball from wherever you are on the field that almost booting the ball out or into the stands is anathema, because they're told, even in the corner, you can play a little diamond. That's what they do all the time to create space. So Batshuayi gets it. We're thinking it's going to go into the crowd, and he lobs it. And of course, it gets intercepted. And even then, Chelsea get the ball back, but still give the Barkley, tries to pass again. Boot it. We're all going, kick it out, all of us in the stands. Kick it out, we know. But the players, I think I'll play a lovely little intricate triangle, gets given, of course, to, what's his face?
Well, Emerson.
The goal scorer.
What's his name?
Adam Driver.
Who is terrific. And so typical that he hasn't played since December. And he scores. It's absolutely typical. He plays so well against us.
So
he's a very good player, Bellerin. Emerson should
kick
it out. He should play for
Chelsea. When their right back cuts in on the left foot and scores.
Yeah.
You know, but then you look at, I saw a really interesting picture on social media from behind the goal. You look at Rudiger.
Makes no effort to go towards it. Yeah. Absolutely.
No blame can be attached to Kepa here, by the way. He might have been slightly slow, but there's no way that he should have been allowed to have got that, had that
there
shot.
There's three chances
ridiculous.
To get rid of it. Emerson, Rudiger and Christensen. No one attacked the ball.
No.
Free run. He cuts inside and scores. Yeah. And it was, if he was 6'5" goalkeeper, he might have got a hand to it, but he's not. It was a really well-placed shot in the corner. Yeah.
Fullbacks, by the way, scoring against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge for Arsenal. Winterburn did it.
Silvinho.
All with the left foot as well.
Yeah.
There we go.
And at that end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pattern. Oh.
Yeah, at the shed
Do
end.
You think it's conspiracy?
Yeah, it's a fix.
But listen, Arsenal fans were delirious, and there was a lot of
debate.
Yeah, but I think that in such a scenario, when you're down to 10 men, you're playing against a London rival, or
you've had 19 corners,
you're gonna celebrate like that, aren't you?
Well, it's like when it's a big result for them. I mean, they're finally showing some, you know, what they lack, minerals, which they lacked under what's his face, the previous manager,
Minerali.
Yeah. It was a good result. It was a bad result for us. I mean, having said that, all the results went our way, apart from Spurs.
Oh, I can't believe it.
But bonkers about the season, 14 points out of however many, we're now better off in fourth place than we were at the start of this rather poor run.
Yeah.
6 points clear. It's bonkers.
Well, it just goes to show how the division is very, very equal. Lower sides seem to be capable of producing a performance that seems to not be consistent with their ineptitude.
Sheffield United, a story of the season that is.
Yeah.
Chris Wilder's done a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
It is a bonkers season. But with regards to The performance itself, fellas, generally, is that one, and the position that Chelsea are in now, and the fact that Frank Lampard always comes out and is always very honest and said, you know, we're creating chances, but we're not doing enough with them. He is looking for a striker. He said it's not definite, but I'm pretty much certain that I want to bring one in. Were you content with the performance, or did you feel parts of it were lacking?
Well, you can't be content when you have 19 shots and you're all over a side and you don't score. This is absolutely absurd. The first 20 minutes, Chelsea were fantastic. Yeah. Before Luiz was sent off, in fact, you were almost thinking, let's keep Luiz on because they're playing so well. Because part of it is that Arsenal aren't playing 10 men behind the ball and are pushing up all the time. But they were absolutely brilliant. Chelsea was superb. So, but they need to score in those situations. They got one, but we're all, because of the way the season's been going, we're going, they've got to score again. If they don't score again, there'll be a change somehow. Something will happen, which is an indictment of the management setup, I'm afraid. The very fact that, or even the players, I don't know which one it is, in fact, you know that if they don't score another goal, which they were doing earlier on in the season, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah. I mean, Tammy had that header against the goalkeeper, didn't he?
Yeah, well, but that happens and happens. He never seems to head down. They don't head to the left or right
they're all learning. I mean, you know, none of these have played this level of football at all.
Just think it's easy to make concessions. I would rather that he got a blend of a team that allowed us to at least play consistently, even if we then lose to certain teams who have outthought us or been better tactically than us. To actually lose because we can't put the ball away is absolutely bizarre.
And he says we do it in training. There's so much we can do.
Indeed.
In terms of the midfield shake-up again, I'm not going to say it's Sarri-esque because I'm just looking at the minutes of them, but obviously Mount and Barkley coming on for Kante and Kovacic. Who did you feel were the better pairing? Not that you can really call it a pairing, obviously, with Jorginho in there as well, Hudson-Odoi on a flank and Willian sort of lurking around as well, but how did you feel that the pair did?
I thought Kovacic was great when he came on. And Kovacic is a drives, and I think he should have been playing in other games recently this season. But it seemed to work very well, that combination.
Was that Kovacic-Jorginho pivot that since they've swapped it out, we've gone on this bad run? Because they're playing really well
together.
Yeah,
they were together.
The problem is you've got Kante, who's probably arguably our only world-class player that we have.
Yeah.
And he's not at his levels.
No, it was commented on today by Frank. He said that he doesn't deliberately play him in those positions forward. He said he plays him all around the pitch. It just happens on how he feels on playing him that day.
I mean, the problem is pushing Jorginho forward. If he's got a track back, he's got no pace. You watch him run, he's like he's running in quicksand. He cannot move, so you need to have him slightly deeper so he can, you know, cover. Unless we just do a 2-4-2-3-1. A bit more advanced.
But having said that, Barkley came on, and Barkley, since he revealed that, in fact, when we were all criticising him, he had a leg injury.
He's proven he's actually Jonathan been Kidd wrong, hasn't he?
He's, been, really good
he's
games.
Been playing better.
Yeah.
But I wish we'd had that information that he was one of the... I thought Frank had just given up on him. No, he had a leg injury.
Well, I know he got injured against Newcastle at home early in the season.
I know, but he obviously hadn't ever got back into fitness again.
He got injured in the first couple of minutes and he carried on until half-time.
That's right, he did that ridiculousness of that, didn't he? Yeah.
Hudson-Odoi, fellas, another 90 minutes under his belt too.
Getting his mojo back.
I was under the impression that it was going to be March or April before he was ready. But Well, I think Frank may be the judge of that. Obviously, Frank will be the judge of it. We may discover that he may be fit, but he's just not quite fit enough for the first team or good enough. Or it may be he may get a run out in something that doesn't matter as much. I don't think he's going to throw
Callum.
Him in.
About Callum,
No, sorry, you said Callum, didn't you?
Yeah,
sorry,
not Ruben.
I'm so sorry, Ruben. I got
double,
confused.
These double-barrelled surnames.
It's double-barrelled. Yeah, I was thinking of Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Who apparently the news is that he's been training with the first team.
It's come out this week, spoken about that.
And I thought he wasn't going to be.
And he's contact, which is important.
I mean, I think that Odoi has actually, since the confidence of the Forest game, when the circumstances were such he was allowed to intimidate various reserve Forest players, which is as it should be, has actually thought, I can do this, and is looking better. Is looking part of it. It's a shame that James wasn't fit to play, because the future to me is James is right back with Odoi as if he carries on improving as he only must as right wing, and then I'm not sure who it is playing in the centre at the moment. I mean, if they are they going to buy a a star player. We will discover. I think the Cavani business is rubbish.
No, it's not 300 grand a week.
I mean, it goes counter to everything that. Having said that, the Higuain came in last year, but then we had a Plank playing at centre forward, who apparently now plays quite decently for Juventus, which doesn't. I don't understand at all. Or does he? We just see the goals.
It's
more.
It's all about Ronaldo.
Yes, true. Yeah,
but then we've got Pulisic to come back after the international break. Yeah. Well, I think we have missed him because he's been quite creative.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. We add something extra, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does indeed, gents. Some more transfer talk coming up, and a certain Stamford Chidge will be joining us on the line too.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
It's the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from the Chelsea Fancast, Jonathan Kidd and Dan Silver. We're going to be speaking to Stamford Chidge as well very shortly. But a developing story today is the news around Ben Stokes, who has, I don't know whether you've seen it online, but thrown a few expletives at a supporter during the fourth test with South Africa. It was as he was dismissed, making his way back to the pavilion, and Stokes said a few choice words to a fan in the crowd. He has since come out and released a statement apologising, saying he was subjected to repeated abuse from the crowd. I admit my reaction was unprofessional and I sincerely apologise for the language I used, especially to the many young fans watching the live telecast around the world. There's a few more bits and pieces that will be live now on lovesportradio.com for the full statement there. But Ben Stokes apologising after that little altercation, if you can call it that, during the fourth test in South Africa for England there. Interesting stuff, gents.
I think it's very difficult being a sportsman in the modern age, isn't it, really? If you get people right next to you who abuse you, you have to somehow be in a bubble. And if you're annoyed with yourself, it's a very human reaction. So I have great sympathy for him.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You have sympathy for him?
Absolutely.
Wow. You agree with that, Dan?
To a point, I think you've got a certain responsibility representing your country. And I think you've got to really kind of, you know, focus and not be, you know, bitten, especially by a younger child who's probably, you know. I mean, then the stuff with Joffre Archer, wasn't that earlier in the season when he got abused, but he managed to keep his powder dry. So I think.
I agree with you. And yeah. I would say as well, kiddo, that we don't know what was said to him. That's not been reported clearly yet.
Or
so
how frequent it was, or even whether he'd been abused by the South African players prior to leaving the pitch.
Imagine if he did a Cantona.
So I just think that it's very easy to pass judgment when we're not completely aware of the facts.
He's come out and apologised. Hopefully it won't detract from what's been a really fantastic series and we can move on with the cricket.
Absolutely. Well, this is the Chelsea Fan Show. We're reflecting on that draw with Arsenal, looking ahead to the game with Hull and just touching on some transfer targets too over the course of the next 40 minutes or so. Delighted to say as well that Stamford Chidge joins us on the line. Hello, Stamford.
Yes, it's about time we had some order on this show. Goodness gracious me. I've got a solution for all of our woes, by the way, following the terrible, disastrous, earth-shattering draw to Arsenal.
Alcohol?
Jonathan needs to go up to his dusty attic and reclaim his 1960s hobnailed football boots and play in every position and then it will all be fine.
Well, funnily enough, Chidge, I'd love to do that. That would be fantastic.
But don't pull both your hammies at the same time.
I would. That would be the problem.
How are you, boys?
I would last seconds.
Really,
have you been listening to the show then, Chidge?
Of course I have.
God, that's
They've held me back for 15 minutes.
Rightly so, but I think you've only got about a minute left, actually.
You know, bludgeon you all, basically.
He's a proud father, aren't you?
Something like that.
So, Chidge, we've got you on the line. Of course, you heard what the boys said about the draw with Arsenal. Frank and the team are making certain mistakes, they're making errors, they're not being clinical enough. What's the answer here, Chidge, and what's your verdict on the game against Arsenal?
Well, it was massively disappointing, because the reality is that if you get a team... I mean, it was so comedic, wasn't it, seeing Luiz get sent off. And I mean, I think Arsenal have had more players sent off playing against Chelsea than any other team, which just makes me laugh so much. But you would expect Chelsea to have buried them after that, and it meant many years hence they would have done, or you know, many years in the past they would have done. So it was really disappointing that they didn't manage to do that. But I have to say, there is an old adage that all these, I mean, you know, these young fellows like Jonathan and Dan, they'll know this. There is something about sides having, you know, finding it difficult to play against 11 men. I have no idea why. I mean, what I will throw up is, you know, we all felt before when we were talking last week that actually we would play quite well against Arsenal because they would come out and try and play against us. And that would give us space to attack and us to look good. Of course, immediately they went down to 10 men. They started to defend with two banks of four.
We've said that, Chidge.
Well, I know. It's I'm picking up on that.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's the thing that we've had trouble against with all the teams that come and defend against us exactly the same way, two banks of four. I have to say, I think that the biggest problem is our defensive deficiencies. I mean, you know, we are scoring goals. It's not like we're not scoring any, but we keep letting them in. And I mean, they're both criminal. I've got to say, both the goals that we conceded were criminal.
But at the same time,
both
Chidge,
of them were 19, down to Emerson.
19 shots. You know, you've got a 19 chances. You've
got
to put them
away.
Yeah,
I know. And we should be putting more chances away. And I totally agree with that. But, you know, if we had a defence that was up to it and not conceding criminal goals, we would have won that match 2-1.
But haven't we established that Emerson is poor? We have established that.
Oh, man,
dreadful.
Alive,
yeah,
Jonathan.
So therefore, why are we surprised? You know, and once again, the information I was given was he was off. He didn't want to stay. So I don't quite understand why he keeps being selected.
Well, because we haven't got a replacement.
No, there isn't. They have that. When Frank is very keen on one in, one out. Yeah. This is why nothing has happened.
It's more like Marina.
It's Marina is keen on that. Yeah.
But Dan, I've been thinking about this because, you know, there are things that are going on at the moment. We're getting a few injuries. Tammy's out. We don't know how long for. Pulisic has been out. Kante hasn't been the same player this year because I think he's been in and out with injury. We know that Mount's been carrying four injuries this year. And if players either are carrying injuries or go out of form, the irony is that at that stage we'd all normally be saying, oh, come on, give one of the kids a chance. Well, the trouble is all the kids are playing and there isn't anybody else. I mean, I think it's about now we're beginning to see the effects of having what is really quite a thin squad. And you know, it's being masked by how well we've done, I think, you know, for most of the season. But it is a problem, and I feel for Frank because I don't think there are many other options that
but
he has.
Can I just say, I think that they're not playing the way that they played earlier on in the season, which involved a really dynamic press, which we're not seeing very much, and the ball isn't being passed as quickly. I mean, nonetheless, they're still managing to swamp opposition and just not score. You know, and I from when we started, we were constantly saying they'd score four goals, and they did. And it didn't really matter how many goals the opposition scored. And we're now, because we're not scoring the goals, the defence is much more highlighted. And we know there are certain players who are just not up to the standard of what is required, and Emerson being one of them. And we're the defence are consequently therefore being given more scrutiny than I think the forward line should be, because and the speed of passing, because I don't understand why he's changed that philosophy.
I don't agree that he has changed the philosophy. I think maybe a bit of fatigue's come into it. Listen, mate, I do totally agree with you about the problem that we create a lot of chances, but we don't put goals away. But I still concede, you know, you only need to score a couple of times if you've got a decent defence. We saw this under Mourinho, and of course it's been hilarious all week, with Liverpool taking all the plaudits, that they'll probably nobody will ever beat that record that Jose's team set when they only conceded 15 goals in a season.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've got a really, you know, come on, we've all seen great teams in the past and they start at the back. The foundations are at the back. You know, if you don't concede, if you can get a goal, you're going to win a game.
Yeah,
whereas
Chelsea
need to score four or five because we just let so many in.
No, I agree. The 2005 side were blessed with both phenomenal defenders and brilliant attackers. Because he had Duff and Robin at the time, who were just absolutely magnificent.
But then you had John Terry,
I'm saying
Cole.
In the defence, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
We had
world-class players.
Yeah.
And we had someone like Wayne Bridge to come in at the time. He was also an England international, really good player.
Yeah.
Now we've got, you know, the paucity of quality.
Was that because we were a more attractive team for other players to want to join at the time, and we're not in the same way now? Is that part of the reason?
The landscape's changed with City to an extent because they've come in.
And Liverpool, and City Liverpool. And Liverpool.
Yeah, but I mean,
when Liverpool, they crafted it a bit more, didn't they?
I mean, they bought well. You know, they needed a goalkeeper and centre-half. They bought that. They had the front three and they bought full-backs. I mean, one's homegrown and Robertson with £10 million.
Yeah. But we've been left with a legacy of some really poor, you know, players being bought over the last five, six seasons. I think if you go through the list of some of the players that we bought, it's there for all to see, isn't it? I mean, the interesting thing is that Emerson would not have played in that match had Reece James been fit. So, you know, my point about getting injuries occasionally not helping, I think, bears bears some veracity there, doesn't it?
Yeah,
because he's responsible effectively for both of those goals. If you analyse it, he wouldn't have been playing had Reece.
Well, I think the ball should have been thrown out before.
Not the first goal, no, because that was a break.
I do because if he wasn't supposed to have been that far up the field, right? And he thought Kante was not going to slip, and he backed off. And then at the very least, he should and could have taken out Martinelli.
Yeah.
Take him on for the team, mate. Just take him out. Why not? Why didn't he not do that? He's got the pace.
He'd have been sent off.
Well, so what? We'd have been 10 against 10.
He wouldn't have been sent off because he's too far from goal. He'd got a yellow card.
No, I don't think it's okay. I'd debate that. If he fouled him...
Where Kante slipped.
Yeah, no, he would have been sent off. Because he's on his own.
But even if he had, Jonathan,
no, definitely,
would have
you
been
don't
10,
do it about
off.
How far away you are. You do it whether there's another
man.
Yeah,
but he might have said that one of the defenders could have got back and covered. That's the thing. I don't think that far
not
from a goal you get sent
that
off.
Martinelli was going.
Well, anyways, it's a hypothetical point,
gents. What I would say is that in terms of expectations, and you touched on this at the beginning, Dan, and you look at where Chelsea are right now, yes, 40 points, 24 points adrift of Liverpool, but Liverpool are on a different planet at the moment. 6 points are comfortably in those top four spots. I think the question was put to Frank after the game as to whether at the start of the season he would have taken where Chelsea are right now. And I think he said that he would. Would you guys have done?
100%. If you'd asked me in August, we'd be 6 points clear of fourth spot, Champions League, bitting your hand off. I mean, our next 3-4 matches are going to be very telling to our season. Leicester, Tottenham, that's going to really define where we are, where we're going to end up
in that,
and United as well.
I think we'll do well against all those sides actually, because they're not going to just defend.
Leicester won't sit back and attack.
No, absolutely,
which is good. United, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, you get the side that loses to Burnley, or the side that puts a great against Liverpool.
Yeah. You're not going to get much against United, I don't think, at the moment, certainly with Marcus Rashford out.
Can I answer that question? I think, if we've established on the show, we've talked about
That's why you're here, Kinner.
Fact,
yeah,
thanks
please
very
do.
Much. I know, but I thought you were going off into something else then. I think we all agreed at the beginning that we would be happy if they finished 10th. Our expectations weren't enormous. The problem is they played so wonderfully early on in the season with a style that I've yet to see Frank replicating. This is why I'm confused by this. And so this is what leads to the disappointment, is the fact that rather than going, well, we've been found out, or they run out of energy, or it's injuries, it's, for me, tactically, they're not playing the same way. The press isn't there, and the speed isn't there. Whether they're knackered, that might be it, of course. I didn't know, because we don't know what's coming out of the training ground about that. But that's where that's my expectations, therefore, have been changed by the way they played early on in the season, where they were fabulous. So at the moment, I'd be annoyed if they were 10th. And yet, from all of our perspectives early on in the season, we'd be happy if they stayed in the division as a season of transition.
Lovely stuff. Well, that was Jonathan Kidd there. This is the Chelsea Fan Show. Next up, we're going to be looking ahead to the game against Hull and touching on some transfer talk.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow. Great. I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
This is the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from the Chelsea Fancast. Jonathan Kidd,
Beadle,
Dan Silver and Stanford Chidge joining us on the line as well. Now, gents, we are going to have a bit of transfer talk right now because Frank is in the market for a striker, Tammy Abraham. We don't know how long that injury is going to keep him sidelined. But there's talk of Edison Cavani, although Atletico Madrid look like they're front runners. And now there's talk of Moussa Dembele of Lyon.
Can I just say all this talk, which is then embraced beautifully by top-class journalists who have clearly just wandered and trawled the internet for idiocy. And it actually makes me despair of the state of journalism in this country when you get stories that have either just been, have already passed their sell bite on the internet, which just suddenly then rehashed because they've got nothing to talk about, or they don't know what they're doing, or they're being unbelievably lazy. And so some of these inventions, which are of course are stupidly embraced by members of the public as being the truth because they've been said by a decent journalist or even a rubbish journalist, you just go, just listen to Frank's pressers. He says, I'm not interested in selling anybody unless somebody else goes out. He said this over and over. So the fact that all the players are still there and there hasn't been any transfer activity, he's not going to have anybody spare. He's not going to sell somebody like this ridiculousness of Giroud going to Milan 10 days ago. Well, that would have meant if Abraham's injured and all you've got is, and Giroud's gone, all you've got is Batshuayi. So it, from a logical point of view, it's absolutely stupid to believe that. But everybody did. He's gone. Giroud's gone. Pictures of Giroud with the fair
spot at the airport.
He wasn't him.
It
wasn't a picture of him. It was a group of five blokes just at an airport.
Not even one of them had a beard.
No, not one of them. Giroud with his entourage. No, it's not. It's five blokes in a corridor. What's this?
One's got a slightly similar beard to Giroud, but not as good looking.
It was a fake beard, Dan.
It was a fake. Cavani story. I mean, what? It goes completely counter to everything and anything that Chelsea believe in. He's 33. He's 350,000 a week. She likes getting people she can possibly sell on, or our Mrs. Marina. Or if you look at the transfer activity, a 6-month loan might be feasible, I suppose. But Milan want to sell him, according to the papers. Well, are they going to buy some on a 2-year contract? Well, that goes once again completely counter to the way Chelsea do their business. So why has this become essential for the team and supporters? Yes, let's get him. No, why? It's typical of Chelsea. They just get old idiots playing.
Sign
like
somebody.
Must sign somebody. He has said he's signing somebody.
Dan and I are privy to... we've got our own sources, Jonathan. We don't need Ron anymore.
We don't? Yeah. Okay.
No. Dan will know this, and I won't reveal any of the sources because I want to protect the guilty. But apparently, the papers are just making it up. The club are trying hard, but nobody wants to sell. And the TV money has meant that clubs no longer have to sell. Isn't that right, Dan?
And that's from a very, very, very reliable source.
Yep.
Very high up. So good. I like that. Yeah. But that makes sense. But therefore...
It's Ron's brother, mate.
Unfortunately, Ron didn't make it to the game during the week. So, and Lynn...
I heard you got told off.
I did. I got told off for asking Lynn about it. Yes. Yes, I got scowled at. Yes, exactly, for doing that.
You don't run.
No, you don't.
So with regards to the transfers, gents, I mean, whether there we can believe what certain outlets are saying or not, and we look at a player like Moussa Dembele who's got, one in two pretty much in the league for Lyon since he joined the club.
Because he's been linked.
He's been linked. So all I'm saying is if Chelsea do need a striker, right? Yeah. Now
Frank said he's not interested in him.
Right.
Unavailable, said, by the way.
Yeah, and he's unavailable because they put all the other two
you
players.
You did not let
players.
Me finish.
Okay.
I'm saying if there is a striker like Moussa Dembele, right? Now, Frank has come out and said he's not interested in him. Cavani, like you said, that's quite far-fetched. So what are we looking at then for Chelsea? Because this was going to be my question. Tammy Abraham looks like he is out for a period of time. We don't know how long. No. It might just be a week. But Michy Batshuayi is not sufficient cover. Olivier Giroud,
not,
we don't know what's going to happen.
Enough. It's not sufficient.
There we go.
Yeah.
So...
Giroud
what
is
do
too
Chelsea
static
do
for
then?
The setup.
So what? And are there certain targets that you guys would like the club to go for?
Bruce Buck said before the presser last week We've got somebody. Frank is. We're about to buy somebody, and Frank went, "Oh, thanks."
Yeah, so he could have been playing games. Now.
But I don't know.
As far as I'm concerned, all the rumour, all the conjecture, until you actually see somebody holding a shirt, I don't.
I agree with
frankly,
that.
Don't care.
I agree, but are there certain type of player or a player that you would like to see the club potentially go for?
I mean, it's difficult. I mean, look who's available. Who would come to us? That's the problem. I mean, you know, the guys in former Danny Ings, but he's come out of two very bad knee injuries.
Yeah.
Southampton probably won't sell him because they're in good form.
It's always, in fact, it's the fact that the person's playing and keeping them up. They're really not going to sell.
I mean, Callum Wilson, but I don't know. He's gone off the ball.
No way, mate.
No, he's off the ball.
But he was injured as well, wasn't he? Yeah, so.
But also the other scored in September.
The other team, he scored yesterday.
He's got one goal in 15.
He scored this week. It was his first shot on target since October.
Yes, it was.
But that is an indictment of Callum Wilson. That's an indictment of the way the Bournemouth.
I mean, Callum is a good player. But again, he's a player who's had two really bad knee injuries, and you don't really want to kind of as your backup striker.
Yeah, but I reckon that we're being too parochial. I think we're looking at players in our division, where I think that there are many players around Europe who might fulfil what Frank is about that we don't know anything about.
The biggest thing for
Jonathan,
Chelsea.
Sorry, chaps. Just butt in for a second because I think Matt. You know, I mean, I've got to ask Matt this as well, actually. But I mean, he does lots of fan shows every week. I wonder if he has a fan show where people are less interested in transfers than we are, and I think we should wear that as a badge of honour. But I wonder if, in a sense, the salient point is that maybe the club have a plan, and actually, if they can't go and buy somebody who fits in with the plan, they're just not going to do it, you know. And we've often moaned about the fact that you don't tend to get good players in at this time of year, and getting somebody would be a panic buy. And I've already moaned, and I know you boys agree because we've talked about it before, some of the appalling people we've bought in the last 5 or 6 years. We don't want to get, you know, stuck with a load of, average players on our books.
Tell me, you look at, you know, the money we spent. I've always maintained Danny Drinkwater and Bakayoko, 70 million quid. Could have brought a world-class midfielder for 70 million quid and not been stuck with two not good enough for Chelsea players.
Zappa Costa, can't get rid of him.
Well, yeah, he did his cruise ship, but he's injured. But no, I see what you mean. We bought bang average. We spent a lot of money. Yes, we have. But we bought absolute dross compared to our normal standards. So we've been stockpiling. What sensible thing would have been done 3-4 years ago after Jose left and we brought in... who was after Jose? Who came in after Jose? Conte. Yeah, Conte overachieved with the squad, and I think we've set the bar very high in the last few years. Jose came back, won the league. Conte overachieved, and the mere fact is that all the so-called big clubs have been in transition periods, and now suddenly Liverpool have flown away with the league. They've been building for the last 4 years. We've won it because we've had winners. But look at the squad now. There's no real winners after JT's gone, Frank's gone, Ashley's gone. We need to find a new spine, a real kind of team that, that people want to hate Chelsea. I don't want to be liked. The fact that the media is starting to like us, don't like it.
You don't like that either, do you, Chidge?
I love the fact that Chelsea were ruining football when Abramovich came in that mad summer when he bought all those players. We were haters, and I love that. I don't want to be liked. I want to be hated. I want everyone, all 91 league clubs, to say, "Oh God, it's Chelsea. I hate them. We need to get our anger back.
Well, I think Dan, that there are two reasons. I mean, I want them to hate us because of our attitude on the pitch, you know, the physicality, that will to win. And I think that's what, the Jose team of the mid-2000s and then went on for many years after that represented. Of course, a lot of people hated us because we had loads of money and we bought all the best players. I don't really care about that. I want to hate us for what we do on the pitch. Yeah. And I think, to battle and I can't say the word I want to use, but it's got house in it. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I want.
House party.
That's it. House party.
An outside house.
Very good.
I think you're right as well, in the sense that there is a clear plan here. Frank Lampard came in at the start of the season. Yeah. He has got a clear plan. We've spoken about the fact that, we didn't think we were going to get this January transfer window. We've got Petr Cech behind the scenes as a technical advisor or whatever kind of role that he's playing. Maria is there as well. So I think you're all right, basically, that if the players aren't there, the club clearly aren't interested. They've got an idea of who they want to bring in. If that player becomes available, they'll go and get him. But until that happens, we don't really know what's going on.
Liverpool did.
Yeah. What I will see is, whatever happens this season, Frank gets a second season, he gets a summer to bring the players that he wants, and we actually really believe in this project. We develop this project. We take it on. The club don't panic if we don't get top four, top five. Get some more sponsorship deals in, get a bread partner, get a toilet roll partner, whatever they want to do. Just give Frank a chance to build, integrate the youth, you know, sprinkle it with some world class players and let's see what happens.
They've changed the sponsors.
Three. I mean, I'm dreading when we get beat like 2-0 or 3-0, like when Arsenal had the O2 sponsor.
That's it, Inter Milan,
you know, all that kind of thing. Yeah, but listen, it's. I think Liam Toomey said it's monetary wise the same value as a deal with Yokohama, so that's obviously 40 million a year.
Yeah.
And I think, gents, just to round this up, as long as there's not a complete capitulation, which I don't think there will be until now, until the end of the season, it's not going to affect this certain group of players. You can go again in the summer and that's when the proper rebuilding job starts. I think, Chidgey, thank you very much for joining us, boss. Nothing but a pleasure having you on the line. Next, we're going to be speaking to Jonty Coleman, digital football writer for Whole Live, about that FA Cup clash.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
It is time for the opposition view on the Chelsea Fancast. Of course, Chelsea playing against Hull City this weekend in the FA Cup fourth round. Now, gents, the record for Chelsea against teams outside of the Premier League in the FA Cup. 49 out of 51 times you have indeed won.
What about the two we lost?
Go on.
Bradford.
Yep.
And Barnsley.
And Barnsley, correct.
3-1, 1986.
Well, there we go. I don't know. I don't know the result. I thought it was just
1-0.
We
lost to Oxford as well, didn't we, as well?
No, we beat Oxford. We went down to the Manor Ground.
2008 was Barnsley.
Yeah, we lost to Oxford at home in the FA Cup, 3-1 at home.
Wasn't that years before, though?
That was in the 80s or 90s.
Oh, was it? Must be more then. That can't be right. That stat must
way,
be
either
wrong.
Way.
Or 51 ties.
Oh, 48. So
49
of
51.
The three.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done, Dan. Very good.
No, that would be outside of the 51, wouldn't it? We were going all the way back.
49, 50, 51.
Aren't we allowed to go back? Is it like
Oxford,
that we don't go further than the Premier League?
Oxford and Barnsley.
Is that what's happening nowadays?
I know, but that's a specific stat, gents.
What about the Bristol City?
Crikey, right.
Bristol City
right.
In the rain.
We're going to move on.
Sorry, yeah.
I think you've slightly misunderstood the stat because we have Jonty Coleman, digital football writer for Hull Live on the line now. Hello, Jonty.
Hi, Matt. You all right?
Yeah, good. Thank you, buddy. You're on the line with myself and the boys from the Chelsea Fancast, Jonathan Kidd and Dan Silver.
Hello, Jonty.
The game this weekend... John T. Now, Hull off the back of two straight defeats. How's this one going to go?
I think it's going to be a really interesting tie. I think the atmosphere at KCOM Stadium is going to be quite an interesting one. It's a sellout there for the first time in 3 years, and the last sellout was when they're last in the Premier League. So I think, you know, regardless of the result, this is going to be a really important occasion at the ground to get so many fans back, you know, there and in support. Yeah. It's been kind of a strained relationship over the last few years between the club and the fans, but it's really picked up this year and it's going to proper kick on, I think, in this cup tie. The game itself, I think it will be really interesting. I think it'll be a classic cup tie. I think Chelsea will see a lot of the ball, but to be honest, I think that'll really suit Hull City. I think I've haven't watched Chelsea a lot recently. You know, they attack with pace and they have a lot of attacks in games.
But they can't score.
Exactly. And at the minute, I think that's been their slight downfall. And Hull City, they had, just to give you guys an example, back in November, they went down to Fulham and, you know, it was a very similar Fulham on the ball, absolutely battered Hull City. Hull had 24% possession and they won 3-0. So in games like that, sometimes it really does suit them. But I think it will be obviously a really tough task for Hull City, but I do think that Chelsea, at the end of the day, are obviously going to come out on top.
Do you think, because you're sort of 7-8 points off the playoffs, he's going to play full strength team, because obviously Jarrod Bowen's getting loads and loads of goals and you've got Grzeszczyk pulling the strings. Do you think he's
I like Grzeszczyk. Yeah, I always thought he was a decent player.
Do you think
he's
going to play a full team? Because I know your playoffs are probably going to be tough this year, would you say?
I think that's been a debate really over the last few days. Do you go full strength? There's been a few injuries as well knocking about. And after this one, it's Huddersfield at home on Tuesday and then Brentford at home the following Saturday. So it's an important run where Hull City, you know, need to kind of get points on the board. So Grant McCann's been pretty honest. He said that we are gonna go for it, but at the same time, we do need to make changes because ultimately, whilst it'd be a special occasion, playoffs have to be the aim. I think there will be a strong team. I expect the likes of Bowen to start, maybe Grzycki, although he has only just come back from injury. So again,
Has Honeyman been playing regularly?
He's been in and out of the team, to be honest, since he's arrived. He had a good spell sort of the end of December, start of January. he had a good spell, and you know, he got a goal and, you know, assist, and just had a couple of games where he started to, you know, show himself a bit more. And then they signed Herbie Kane on loan for Liverpool, and then Honey was dropped back out. And I felt that's been a little bit harsh on him because he was just coming to form. But then again, Herbie Kane, for example, was a player that Grant McCann had wanted for a long time. So,
and I always had affection for Honeyman because he was in that Sunderland documentary, and he came across really well, actually, in it. And it's weird how you get affection for players and when you see them in different environments.
Do you think you'll hold on to Bowen in the window? Because obviously he's scoring goals for fun. Do you think you're going to hold on to him? Or
I think if you had asked me this 48 hours ago, I would have said definitely. I think combination of Hull City won a lot of money for him. They want £20 million for him, which, to be fair, given his goal-scoring record over the past couple of years, that's a fair estimation. But at the same time, you can count on one hand, really, how many players have ever left the Championship for £20 million or more. Yeah. So there's that. However, Grant McCann, in his press conference yesterday, he did admit that they've just offered Bowen a new contract. They'd offered him one back in October or November, but he hadn't signed it. They offered him a new one. I think it was around last week. And he admitted that if Bowen doesn't sign that, they are going to seriously have to think about, you know, selling him, because ultimately it might just get to an awkward situation. So I think that, and they're kind of probably being slightly ruthless on that in the way that, but at the end of the day, they've got to think about themselves. You know, if Bowen doesn't want to play, if Bowen wants to aim for the Premier League, and rightly so, given, you know, his ability, at the same time, the club have got to cash in on him.
Because United paid £20 million for McBurney, and from my memory, he's got a better goal-scoring record than McBurney, hasn't he, Bowen? He's much more prolific.
He's much more prolific than McBurney. McBurney had one good season. Bowen had a good season before that, and he's having an even better one this time around. And the thing is, Bowen's not even a striker. He's a right winger.
He's a midfielder as well, isn't he? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. He's primarily a right mid. Every now and again, Grant McCann's moved him around a little bit at times of season. He's played a 10 a couple of times, up front a couple of times. But, you know, his bread and butter is outright on the right wing, and that's where he's made a name for himself.
And so talking midfielders very quickly, you've got Daniel Batty. Is there any relation to David Batty, or are they just coincidence?
I don't believe so. I think that one's purely coincidence.
Yeah. Okay, that was it.
I was going to say, does the team play defensively and then break mainly, or do they try and play a bit more?
I think they are one of the lowest. I think if you look across the Championship in terms of like average possession per matches, Hull City are right at the bottom of that. But the way they break at times has been absolutely frightening, really. I think they're joint top in the league for most counter-attacking goals alongside Leeds. And look where Leeds are at a minute. So it's the
perfect side to play Chelsea, let's be honest.
It is. And I think that, you know, I must admit, I'm a Chelsea fan myself, so I do watch a lot of them.
Are you?
Good man.
Good for you. No, should have said at the beginning, then we could have just, you know, talked about Chelsea.
Be nicer, not give you difficult questions.
Yeah, we didn't have talked about Hull at all.
I think it's from my point of view, it's a slight frustration watching Chelsea play so attacking recently and not scoring.
Ridiculous.
It's going to be really interesting, I think, because it's two very different contrasting styles, and either Chelsea needs to put away the chances, or Hull City, you know, on their day, can make them pay for it.
John T, it's been great having you on, boss. Just a very quick score prediction before you go.
It's a tough one. I'm going to go 2-1 Chelsea, but, you know, it's the FA Cup and anything can happen.
I think it'll be a draw and we'll come back to the bridge.
I wouldn't say no to that.
I think Chelsea will turn it on. I think they'll win comfortably. I just think they're comfortable. 3-0.
Good to speak to you.
Thank you. Jonty Coleman there, digital football writer for Hull Live and a Chelsea fan. There we go. That transpired at the end of that.
As I said, we could just have had, you know, talked about Chelsea, not bothered with Hull at all.
Gents, there's a certain individual we've not touched upon yet. Victor Moses.
Yeah.
Moves on loan to Inter Milan.
Good on him.
Yeah. Brilliant. Under Conte,
brilliant as a wing back. Couldn't play left right back under.
Couldn't play right wing, but he just no, he found
all right that, wing. That, when he started with Wigan, he just beat players for fun. He was fantastic.
Well, he started at Palace.
Yeah, and when he Palace, when he went to Wigan, he was. I remember we watched Wigan play, and everybody was
Victor
singing.
Moses, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Yeah, that's what. But he was just taking players on, beating them for left, right, and centre, and he then seemed to lose that, didn't he? But he became really a part of Conte's title winning.
He was
absolutely brilliant.
So important. Yeah. I mean, that Everton game where we won 5-0, some of the best we'd ever seen. Those two were Yeah, unbelievable.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. But it didn't work under Sarri, obviously, because he saw him and he didn't want him. So this is a signing that seems to fit in with Conte's plan. He seems to like buying...
Reigning the Premier League is what he's doing.
But liking players who are with great experience. Mm.
Over 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Gents, we touched on it at the beginning of the show. The vegan stand at Stamford Bridge, the first ever vegan kitchen area in the Premier League. You can have a vegan pizza, you can have your buffalo cauliflower wings.
I'd be interested to see how they do the vegan pizza, because every vegan pizza I've ever had has been tasteless. They have a pumpkin base for it.
Or cauliflower.
You can't have cheese, vegan, or a cauliflower. I'm allergic to cauliflower. Oh, what can I eat? I can't eat anything. Gluten-free.
Vegan doner kebab you can have.
What meat do they have then for that? It won't be lamb, will it?
It'll probably be jackfruit.
It'll probably be jackfruit or some sort of plant-based thing. Yeah, I mean they've made a big point here. John Davies has made a point of saying we're not taking options away from meat eaters. We're just adding more options.
Yeah, it's an option they're available.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I won't be eating anything from there because I get my own vegan.
Vegan venison pie.
Yeah, exactly, venison pie. Without the venison, of course, just pie.
And you can't have pie because it's got milk in it.
Yeah, you can't. So therefore, it's gluten. Therefore, it's a piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Very flavoursome, though.
Yeah, very. Well, they put sauce on it, you see.
Yeah, Ron sauce.
Yeah.
Before we go, gents, we're going to move on from the veganism and your predictions, really, for the game. Interesting there what Jonty was saying about the fact that Chelsea's style might actually suit Hull.
I think we're going to go there. We're going to put in a really good performance. We've been threatening in little parts. We're going to put in a good performance. I think we're going to go and win comfortably.
Interesting to see who he selects, actually, because he's going to play Caballero.
Well, Caballero is going to play regardless of the situation with Kepa,
which we haven't talked about at all, actually, which is interesting. There are lots of people are thinking that he's one of the great sources of dismay in the defence.
Well, there's been talk about Nick Pope as well this week. I don't want to go too much into transfer rumours because you're going to get angry. I don't think you can read too much into those stats. Nick Pope is a very good goalkeeper. I think we're getting too distracted nowadays with
stats.
Save percentage. And I think you have to base it more on XGA, which is your expected goals against. Now, those stats lie a lot deeper into what the goalkeeper actually does because, you know, save percentage, how many of those could be point-blank headers or shots from the six-yard box? That's not measured.
People forget Kepa's made some really important saves for us this season.
Yeah.
Yes, he's made mistakes, but then he's got a dreadful defence in front of him. And a lot of the early goals were because we were zonal marking and people have free headers. And however good you are, if someone's heading the ball at you from 2 yards out, you've got very little time to
react. Are you happy with
the
dreadful defence now being Christensen and Rudiger rather than being Tomori and Zumo? He seems to have forgotten.
Part of the problem is that Frank can't work out his two centre-back pairings. I think Christensen's three games has done very well. He's certainly made a case for himself. Rudiger's been a bit disappointed since he's come back.
He has.
I'd like to see Tomori and Christensen play.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, perhaps they'll be the centre halves tomorrow. But it'd be interesting to see who he plays in terms of other reserves coming in. Whether even Giroud gets a go, that would be interesting.
I think some of the kids, Matson, might get a game.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Lamptey.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Billy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Okay, so a quick score prediction from you, Dan Silva.
3-0.
A splendidly coiffured, newly coiffured Dan Silva, by the way. I do feel it's worth mentioning.
Rest in peace, my hair. 3-0.
And Jonathan Kidd.
1-1.
1-1. Nothing wrong with your mane, my friend. This has been the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Spot. We'll be back next week, 7 p.m. Friday. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.